Hello and welcome to Channel Pro Weekly, episode 48. My name is Matt Whitlock, your host and tech editor for Channel Pro. As many noticed, we didn't do a show last week, and the reason is shocking and unfortunate. It is with a heavy heart to inform you, our regular listeners, that executive editor and voice of reason on this show, Cecilia Galvin, unexpectedly passed away last Thursday. Suffice it to say, the entire Channel Pro staff has been mourning this loss. As a tribute to her, we'd like to dedicate this show to Cecilia, share stories, hear from some of her friends and colleagues, and learn more about this amazing woman. Joining me this week, regular on this show, senior news editor and longtime friend of Cecilia, Rich Freeman.
Indeed. I had the privilege of knowing her for a decade, and I'm looking forward to sharing with the world so much of what we knew about her that made her special.
And we also have a special guest this week, someone who we've been trying to wrangle in on a show for quite some time. It's kind of a bummer that it's with such unfortunate circumstances, but we're glad he's here. And this is a man who has known Cecilia for also a very long time, worked with her tirelessly. It is the publisher, and who we affectionately refer to as Boss Man here, Michael Sibbins.
Hey, guys. Thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And, Matt, I mean, if I could join at any particular episode of the podcast, I think this is a fine one to join as we memorialize our good friend, Cecilia.
I absolutely agree. And I know we have, I'm sure, a lot of stories we want to share. And just to kind of give people a little bit of a outline of this show, so we've decided to make this a special tribute episode just for her. We will cover a little bit of what's going to happen next week. So there isn't really going to be a lot of news or any of our kind of regular features. But for those of you who have been listening for a long time, I'm sure you've enjoyed the banter that we've all kind of had back and forth and enjoyed getting to know Cecilia that way. But I implore you to listen through and to hear some of the great things about her. And hear some. We reached out to so a lot of friends and colleagues that work with us, and a lot of them sent an audio that we're going to play for you about like their experience with her and what they thought of her. So I think it's going to be a very great, really great show, and I'm sure we'll do her memory honor. So, Michael, how about we start with you, because you are the one who brought Cecilia into the Channel Pro fold back in the day. And you actually know a lot of really cool things about her as well. So maybe why don't we cover a little bit about her, kind of her background and how she kind of ended up at Channel Pro.
All right, great. Thanks, guys. And hello, and thanks again for having me here. So, wow, I mean, it's funny. It's, you know, Rich and I have known her for the same amount of time because Rich and I were involved in Channel Pro the same amount of time. Probably a little more than 10 and a half years ago, we started up Channel Pro. And not everybody might realize, but Rich and I were basically employee 1 and 1A, or 1 and 2. And Rich and I had worked for a number of years in a few different capacities before that. But when we started up Channel Pro, I was working out of our Boston area office, which is the parent company of Channel Pro, before we moved down, here, where I am, in North Carolina. And that's where I met Cecilia. So we had started up Channel Pro. We really recognized this kind of hole in technology media coverage that nobody was giving love and paying a lot of attention to, like integrators and resellers back then, kind of pre-MSP jargon days, who were working with small and medium business clients. And so we started up Channel Pro, and Rich helped us get off the ground at that point. But then Rich kind of turned his focus on to a number of other things. It was sort of Channel Pro was one of his loves, but he spread himself around, and it was great. And so then Cecilia joined our team to come in and sort of, you know, take the full-time helm as editorial director. And so when I first met her, it was here in North Carolina. And it was neat because she was very thrilled. Let's just say, like, North Carolina is not sort of the hotbed of media and IT media at that. I literally came down from, I guess, what I would consider one of the hotbeds of IT media, down from the Boston area, and I'm from New York originally, where big, you know, big publishing cities. And so since certainly it was easy to do things very remotely, we had moved to an office down here in Raleigh, and Cecilia had come in to talk to us about the position. And I loved her on paper before I loved her in the flesh. She had such a great background. Not only that, but she's also from the Northeast. She's from the New York, New Jersey area. And so we shared a lot of things about, you know, being up there. And in fact, her mother and my mother, it turned out, both lived in the same, like, over 50 community out in the east end of Long Island, which was kind of funny. And another thing that you guys might not even notice is that her husband, Scott, and I, we both went to high school and graduated the same year in, like, two neighboring and competing high schools on Long Island. So there was all these little connections going there. And I did not – that wasn't, you know, a requirement for her to get hired, certainly. But what was a requirement was her awesomeness and her background in IT and her just being a great and classy woman and really very interesting background. And I don't know if you guys had gotten into it already. Certainly, we may have covered some of this in our other coverage of Cecilia. But, you know, it's not easy to find a very well accomplished, you know, editorial person to join your team and someone you can trust. But she came in with great, with impeccable credentials. She had started back in the day now, Personal Computing Magazine, a long while ago, and then she became vice president and editor in chief of Popular Science, and she was the only woman to ever run the day-to-day operations of Popular Science. And so, you know, two really big sort of industry brands, she was part of them and really played a significant role in them. So she clearly had great background, and even though we're all of us are remote, I was thrilled that she was able to respond to the ad back in the day, but also be right here with us. So, you know, I was used to working on remote teams and, you know, people being remote, and, you know, that's so easy to do. But it was really nice when Channel Pro was in its infancy to have Cecilia join our team and but be right here to collaborate, literally right next to me. I mean, nothing, you know, it's great to be remote and lots can be accomplished, but it's hard to recreate that dynamic of someone who will spend a lot of time on a beloved project like Channel Pro, and then she could do it like right here with us. So there's my sort of how I first met Cecilia. And also at the time, we were sort of maybe time-sharing is the wrong word, but we were kind of squatting in someone else's office here in Raleigh. And I'm trying to describe it to you, but it was heinous. It was sort of frat house chic. You'd walk into this building we had. Now it's all built up. Everything's more modernized down here. But it was just kind of funny. It kind of looked like a fraternity house met Graceland. It had not been decorated since probably the 70s. And, I mean, mirrors everywhere. It was just like this, and leaks coming through the ceiling and all that. And I think she probably questioned her own sanity when she came in to interview, because we were all huddled in this conference room. And but anyway, I always managed to convince her that we were pretty good at what we were doing, and we knew what we were doing. And so, long story short, she joined us, and it's been so. She was not there from day one, but just a couple of months after we really got going, and after our website had just gone up, and we had a couple of issues under our belt. But she joined the team, and she brought just a great sense of humor and really amazing credentials to the organization. And she's kind of like the den mother of the crew, and you know. She was just beloved by all the people she worked with in the PR world, in the IT world, at the vendors. When she'd go on the road, I mean, she just really had a good time. And so those are just a bunch of sort of my thoughts about her. And that was like from the beginning, but also those carry over to just a week ago when she and I spoke, you know, really just hours before she unfortunately passed away. And when she was saying that she really was very optimistic and felt good, and was excited to get back to work, because she loved working so much, and she hated kind of being out for any reason, especially with the medical reasons. And she was just – it was such an inconvenience for her to be sort of inconvenienced by having to go in and get some medical care done. I mean, she obviously took it seriously, but she was just so eager to, like, put it behind her and just get back to doing the stuff she loved and enjoyed. So I have nothing but great memories of my dear friend Cecilia.
And as you said, it was kind of a shock to get somebody so qualified for Channel Pro, because I know you interviewed others at the time, and you told a funny story the other day about some of the other people that you interviewed, and it became very clear why we just completely lucked out getting Cecilia. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
There is a gag order, because most of them are in prison now.
Armed and dangerous.
Without
no names,
Matt. No, those are kind words, Matt. But let's, you know, we don't want Rich to feel slighted either. Rich was no slouch himself. So no, it and actually, not everybody knows it. You know, Rich was here full time in the beginning, and then went off to pursue a number of other things while keeping his hand on the wheel here at Channel Pro, and then kind of joined us again full time. Just a year or so ago. So it's great to have him back. But we had a variety of people had, let's just say, a variety of people had visited us at the at Graceland, at our Graceland East, to interview. But it was tough. It was tough to find someone really qualified. My background, I had been a number of years at some big media companies. But I wanted somebody here with me and stuff like that, and so we really lucked out with Cecilia. But yeah, there were a number of less than qualified people that came through. And if you're listening, I apologize. We're not going to mention your name to embarrass you. She was clearly just there was something special there, and we all clicked, and so it was great to have her join us.
Well, some of it isn't necessarily less qualified, but I mean, as you noted, a lot of the people that came in. Alongside the interview, they just were in completely different industries, you know. And I mean, how amazing was it that we found someone who understood IT and worked on PC and IT related magazines? I mean, that's just like, she could have worked for a pet magazine or flowers or women's health. I mean, it could have been like any industry, but it happened to be IT, which is really rare.
And especially at that time, right? I mean, you kind of talked about it, Michael, but I mean, she was a pioneer, especially at Popular Science, to be in that kind of a senior position at a very well-known, commercial glossy magazine. That was not something that happened a whole bunch.
Right. And then to be available and in the geography here where we wanted her. And what was actually she was excuse me, she was at the time when she joined here, she had been moved down to North Carolina for a couple of years, and she was working in PR, where she was happy when her PR firm had IT clients, because she was just so plugged into that. So hope I can say this, because it was a dream come true even for her to find someone right around the corner here that she could get kind of plugged back into her first love, which was journalism. PR is great, but she really missed working with the pace of reporting and editing and writing and working with all the sort of different constituents that come together, right, when you're working in a media company. So it's tough to go from working in Manhattan for a major media company, and then moving down here to the what I call the South Light in Raleigh area, and not having the same exact type of opportunity. So yeah, it was cool to have her come on board, and she just brought such professionalism with her and such a good understanding of IT and all that. And it's interesting too, in her Channel Pro career and just Channel Pro, she was pretty much there from the beginning. But just in the last 10 years or so, we've seen so much happen too. I mean, the whole, the smartphones and cloud and managed services. And so she was just really well suited to see those things happening and to track them, from a content, like editorial content coverage perspective. And she was neat. She really was in her element. She just loved to be on the phone talking to people, having them chase her with ideas and stories. And so it was a good ride. It was a real good ride.
You know, and it's probably worth noting quickly here, this is sort of been implied, but we should call attention to the fact I mean, Celia did a lot of stuff for us, but her sort of main day-to-day occupation was running our print magazine. And I think I edited like the first two of those ever before she came on board. But as we noted before, I mean, we've been out there, we've been in print for a decade now, and in case you haven't noticed, there aren't a lot of IT publications on paper anymore. This has not been a great decade in which to be in the business of shipping paper magazines generally, and especially, you know, IT trade publications on paper. We still do it, and really, Cecilia, you know, deserves the credit for that. I mean, she played such an enormous role in running that magazine and making that magazine work and making it popular with our readers, which ultimately is why we continue to do it. We're continually asking readers, do you want us to do this? Do you value this? And they do. And that is very much Cecilia Galvin's handiwork.
Yeah, agreed. This is Michael again. Totally agree. You're right. The last decade has not been too kind to the print publishing industry, but Rich, as you mentioned, we were always running into our readers and frankly our advertisers and PR firms and all that. They love that. It's kind of it's far. Was it they say, you know, magazines are far and few between, or no, few and far between. But you know, it's nice to be among them. And hey, they're not as thick as they used to be, but the quality is still there. And frankly, people just get a little sick to death of staring at as the screens get smaller and our eyes get weaker as we age here. It's just nice to have something print that they can put in their briefcase, in their car, in their office, in their meditation chamber at the office, whatever you want to call the different rooms of the house where this will be. So yeah, we really like it. And she's definitely like me, like a peer of ours. You know, we've been around media and publishing a long time, and I love the fact that, you know, we're still, you know, we're still putting the magazines together. And in fact, one of I have I'm on receiving end usually of phone calls or emails will get forwarded into my Outlook where people are doing change of address. I got to tell you, I love seeing it. It's just, you could just tell there's that like desire for people. They're moving or moving across town with their IT firm or something like that. And when we get a change of address request, it's just so refreshing that these people are taking the time to make sure that they keep getting their Channel Pro magazine at their new destination. So that's very cool. It's always very flattering.
One thing I'll say to this is that, you know, my job here is basically was to work, I will say, side by side with Cecilia, but almost in competition with Cecilia, because I'm brought in to grow our web presence and, you know, the screens and reading our content on the interwebs. So even though she and I worked side by side wonderfully and we had a great working dynamic. In that regard, I still was kind of competing with her, you know, because if they're reading it online, maybe they're not reading it in paper. And I have to tell you, anytime I would go and talk to people, I always would kind of realize when it comes to me versus Cecilia, I was generally losing the battle because everybody loved the print magazine. I think half of the people I talked to didn't even know we had a website. So that'll go to show how ingrained the magazine is with our audience and how much they absolutely love it.
And there's definitely a skill, and it's not something that you necessarily see or notice issue to issue. But I mean, it takes talent basically to produce a product on paper that people read and want to receive and continue receiving. So I mean, you know, in terms of all that feedback we get from people about how they appreciate we're still on paper, and hey, you know, I've moved. Keep sending me the magazine. I don't want to miss it. You know, that a lot of that reflects in a way that might not be immediately obvious. Celia's skill at sort of assembling the right content and the right design, just making it a compelling product to hold in your hands and read month after month.
Mm-hmm. It also took a lot of talent to wrangle my copy for me month to month.
Yes,
and a lot of patience. And I will just
did you get my text, Matt?
I did, and I will just say, in honor of Cecilia,
you'll meet a deadline.
I am overdue for my copy for the next issue, and I'm proud of this.
Well, so Rich, you heard him. So, and everybody else listening, we're going to be able to use the wonderful memory of Cecilia, maybe to whip Matt into shape. for each of his deadlines.
So, Rich, why don't you share a little bit about your first interaction with Cecilia?
At least
the first memorable one. I mean, I know did she interview? No, you would have interviewed her, I guess.
And you know, I don't think I did. I was thinking about that before. I'm pretty sure Michael had already hired her before I first spoke with her. And I mean, just based on everything we've said, right? It's like I'm not even going to take the chance. Rich doesn't like her. It's like, this is too perfect. You're hired. Go talk to Rich. So yeah, I spent a lot of time on the phone with her in the early days, just kind of filling her in on what we were doing and so on. But are you thinking about the story that we shared with each other privately about the first time we actually met face to face?
Sure. Yeah. That would be a great story to tell.
Sure. Because that gets to, and there's a lot more I want to say about her just professionally. And so people kind of understand how good she was at what she did. But, we're going to talk a lot as well about what she was like as a person. And this is sort of a reflection of that. So, we had been working together for a while. I've probably a year or two at this point, in time, but it was all, on the phone and email. We had, never been in the same place at the same time. And this is very Channel Pro, people. We are as virtual an organization as you will encounter. Michael's in Raleigh and Matt's outside Chicago. I'm in Seattle right now. We could go on. But about a year or two after she started, the two of us were going to co-host a webinar for a company that some of the folks in our audience will remember called Zenith Infotech. Not around anymore. But we met up outside Pittsburgh to do that. And we were going to have dinner together the night before the webinar. And she knocked on my hotel room door. And I opened the door. And she sort of took a step back and said, "Oh, my gosh, you're so thin."
She didn't say that when she met me, though, by the way.
This became sort of a recurring theme. I don't think of Celia as sort of a mother hen exactly. But, I mean, she was always, always thinking about, concerned about other people. How are you doing? How's it? And every time I saw her, and we would see each other, four or five times a year maybe, at some point after, during that encounter, she would say, "Have you lost weight? Are you eating enough?" And in fact, the very last time I did see her was at our event in Chicago just a little bit over a month ago. And the two of us were, during the lunch break, the two of us were sort of hovering around the dessert tray. And she said, "You look thin. Go eat a cookie. Eat a, because I wasn't quite sure. Should I do that? Or should I maybe do the wise thing, skip the cookie?" She said, "No, you're too thin. Go eat a cookie."
And was it a delicious cookie?
It was. Thank you, Celia. That was good advice.
So I'll share my my first interaction with her. Now I came along much later. Channel Pro had already existed for a little over 5 years, because I joined, I think we're still trying to figure this out. I joined September of 2011, I think, or 2012, one of the two. And 2012, I believe. And so I was already kind of involved with Channel Pro before I started working here full time. But I mostly interacted with Tobias and Michael for the most part. And then Michael wanted Cecilia to interview me. So I remember being nervous because Michael said, our executive editor who runs our magazine and so on and so forth is going to call you and talk to you and kind of interview you. And I was absolutely paranoid because I'm used to talking to, IT people and, people who know the different ports on a motherboard. And I knew Cecilia was very, very adept, but not always the most technically, she's not a geek, in my head, I'm thinking of the guy who, from Spider-Man, who runs the big magazine, with the cigar, but not the female version of that, So I'm absolutely wigged out waiting for this phone call. And she calls me, and she's very pleasant sounding, but she starts asking me a lot of tough questions. What are you going to do to, what are your ideas and thoughts on growing our presence in social? How are you going to take the website from this to this? How are you going to, all of these really, really hard questions. And we got a few things, and I was giving a couple answers, and I started to get this inclination, like, I don't know if she's, like, listening to some of the things I'm saying, or if she's just, you know, like, I started to get this kind of weird vibe, and then she asked me another question, and I answer it, and I go, well, what would you do? Or what did you think of that? And she goes, honestly, we had a really good rapport at this point. We had some laughs and stuff back and forth, and she goes, honestly, I don't know, but your answer sounded really, really good. So it kind of became clear that, like, I was speaking kind of a little beyond her in the digital realm that she wasn't overly familiar with, but I think the interview was more just to see if she and I could get along as opposed to whether or not I knew my stuff. You know what I mean?
She had a really good sense for people.
Impeccable sense, actually.
Yeah. You know, and very just very quick. She could size up somebody: is this a good person or not? And it was hard to get on her bad side. Let's face it. But I mean, if you're somebody she knew she was going to like, you know, she would figure that out pretty quickly. And so I'm sure you guys just clicked right away.
Oh, we did. I mean, by the time the interview was over, I mean, we were laughing and we were, you know, getting to know each other and talk about some of the ways we could work together. And but giving the real feeling of the interview as well. But it was just a really great moment and a great way to get to know her. And from that point on, I mean, we really always got along really, really well. And and I guess from her standpoint, she probably should have been a little bit nervous, right? Because we were in a big push to grow our web presence. And, you know, like I said earlier, that is a direct competition to the magazine in some ways. So I'm sure she kind of came into this be like, oh, who's this guy who's going to put our magazine under, you know, especially with all of the magazines folding around that time. So I think by the time that conversation was over and we were talking about, you know, ways we can work together and how we can, you know, use both online and print to kind of grow the audience. And I think she was very comfortable at that point and realized that I wasn't her enemy as such, as more of a friend.
And, you know, Michael kind of touched on this before when he was talking about, you know, her attitude and how positive she was about it, everything. But it's like she was the last, you know, even if she had thought of you or your role as a threat to her job in any way, she would have been supportive and positive anyway, because she was always like that. It's like she was the last person on planet Earth who would ever, you know, conspire in any way to undercut you or you know, it just that kind of attitude, that kind of spirit, even that kind of fear, it would just never manifest itself in her. She was always supportive of the people around her and really anything they were doing.
Not to mention, she was very adept to change. I think that really speaks a lot to her personality, too. I mean, I know, at least just from since I joined, I mean, I've come in like a wrecking ball in some cases and change, you know, introduce new tools and processes and, you know, all of these different things. And she was one of the first to always kind of embrace and try to learn new things and, you know, and she had to interact with the website a lot, and we went through, you know, basically three in a very short period of time. And she was always, you know, trying to learn how to do things and made the transition to Office 365 before anybody else.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I mean, Michael and I are both like, you know, Luddites, the Google Docs Luddites, essentially. You know, we just can't give up. But yeah, she was willing to make that change.
Always, and when she finally committed, I mean, she always dove in head first and did whatever we could. And I've spent many a phone call, you know, trying. She always wanted to learn. She's like, hey, show me how to do this, or show me how to do this, or let's talk about this, or I have an issue, and this is how I normally do it. It seems kind of silly to do it this way. How would you do it? And we would go back and forth on a lot of those things. And I learned a lot from her as well. probably just as much as she learned from me in just other areas, you know, especially when it comes to writing and editing. I like to say that she was my biggest fan, but also my biggest critic. And that has made me such a better editor and a better writer than I used to be because of that, you know. Is she tough on your writing? Because she was always pretty brutal on mine, but it always made me better at the end.
Yeah, and I'm glad you kind of brought that up. I want to dive into that a little bit. I want to spend a lot of time just talking about her as a person. I mean, that's what we're gonna miss most. But I want people to understand what a prose pro she was. And actually, later on in the show, we mentioned we're gonna have some recorded tributes from people who knew her, including people who were edited by her, and you will hear some of them say exactly what Matt did, that she was a always a warm, encouraging but exacting editor who just made everybody's writing better. From my standpoint, her professionalism and her dedication to the small things, getting the small things right, every detail. If it's not legendary, it should be legendary, because it was amazing to me to watch. And there are just two stories along those lines that I want to tell. I've told Matt these stories just in the past week, but they've been sort of rattling around in my brain. And one of them, which always makes me laugh, it's so Cecilia. Just to this day, I always chuckle thinking about it. Matt, this is like a year plus ago. Matt was at the Lenovo Accelerate conference, their big partner conference. You know where I'm going.
Yeah, this is a great one.
So Matt's at this conference, and the big keynote's going on, and Matt is live blogging it on our website. And in the middle of this, I get an email from Matt. It was from Matt to Cecilia and myself, all capital letters, and it basically says, "Whoever is editing my live blog, stop it! You're overriding my posts." And needless to say, this was not me. This was Cecilia, right? She had been reading along on the live blog, and she just could not help herself. She's looking at it and thinking, well, that comma's out of place. There really ought to be an apostrophe there. And she goes into our system, and she's editing Matt's live blog and inadvertently overriding some of the stuff that he was adding there. You think about it, editing a live blog, this is like editing tweets, right? You know?
Exactly.
But this is Cecilia, and I mean, you know, if it was going to go on the Channel Pro website, it was going to be under the masthead or the logo or whatever, it was going to be right. And so she
edited. Oh, and I sent that email to both of you, but
yes.
Only because I knew it was Cecilia, but I had to send it to both of you. But it was because, like, we don't really have, like, a live blogging system, so the way, like, she would pull it up to edit something, and I would pull up an edit screen, and then I would, like, write stuff and save, but then her edit screen didn't have my latest changes, because I'm trying to fly at a, you know, getting posts and taking pictures, you know, it's very hectic, and you're going to make mistakes when you're just trying to type as fast as you can. And then she would save, and then, like, my post would, like, the two things that I just posted would like, completely disappear. And it was like, we can't do this. So later on, though, we came up with a deal that said, you can edit the live blogs, but you got to wait till it's over. And she was happy with that. So every time I did a live blog, and really it was only the Lenovo and a couple other events that we generally do the live blogging thing, although we should do more of it. I would send her an email afterwards. Okay, covered. Live blogging is over. Now you can go in and do your thing. And she would, because I know she was always sitting there behind her computer, just like staring at like some rogue errors and misspellings and typos, and probably like saying,
itching.
Oh my gosh, I gotta get in and fix this. Because that was the way she was. She was so professional, and she would catch everything.
So I'll tell another story along those lines. I told you this one, too, and I'll set it up a little bit, you know. Everybody listening right now has deadlines. Everybody here deals with deadlines. And you know, in the media world, we deal with deadlines. The biggest deadline that Cecilia had to deal with every month was getting our magazine off to the printer. And it's not like Channel Pro has its own, you know, printing facility somewhere. In fact, none of the magazines you read, folks, has its own printing facilities. We all share this handful of big printing houses. And basically, you reserve time on their machines. And, you know, if your stuff isn't ready when your reserve time comes up, well, get to the back of the line. We'll try to accommodate you. But maybe they can, maybe they can't. So, I mean, that deadline to get the issue to the printer when it had to be there was a serious, serious deadline. And some years back now, she was coming up hard against that deadline for an issue that included a piece I had written in which I quoted a gentleman named Josh Lieberman, who is well known to Michael and Matt, a longtime friend of Channel Pro. In fact, you will hear his voice talking about Cecilia later in this episode. And so, you know, with this deadline looming, my phone rings, and I pick it up, and it's Cecilia, and she was editing my piece, and she says, "Is it Josh or Joshua?" And I, you know, I said, "Well, I always call him Josh." This did not satisfy her. She hung up with me. She called him, and thankfully she got right through to him, and he said, "Well, actually, you know, friends call me Josh. In a business context, I usually prefer Joshua." And so it was Joshua, and it was always Joshua. So first of all, she made sure to send me an email after she'd spoken to him saying, "Joshua, for future reference, it will be Joshua." And she was always, always very careful. She never called, even just in conversation that I can remember, she never called him Josh again. He had expressed a preference for Joshua. She always called him Joshua. That was Cecilia.
This is Michael again.
If I could add, go ahead, Michael.
It's like your mother yelling at you when you've done something wrong, like Matthew, and using your first and middle name. After, you know, when I mentioned earlier when we began, it was great to collaborate and have her kind of right, you know, right next to me in the office and all that. That was in the beginning. And then over the years, we had moved an office down here, thank goodness, out of Graceland, you know, into another place, and then even another place. And then it became sort of a little too far from where she commuted in over on the other side of town, where she lived in Chapel Hill. And so then she worked at home, really, you know, full time after that. And so she really loved, as I think I can say for all of us, we all loved once we started doing live events where we could actually go and the whole team could get together, not only just a team, but I like to describe our live events, the Channel Pro SMB Forum, and I hope many of our listeners have been to them. In fact, I've met a bunch of you who said you do your own podcasts and listen to our podcast, so it's thank you very much for that support. But kind of like nothing beats the live events that we do from the sense that I like to call it as bringing Channel Pro to life for a day. Literally, our whole team is there. You get to see, you know, so many of our readers and our panelists, meaning like our expert speakers and panelists, you know, are for almost to a person, kind of like people who were a VAR or an MSP and have then kind of moved into certainly an expert role in their speaking, or they've gone on to create a consultancy business, and so there's just such a nice cross-section of everybody that we write about, everybody that we write for, and all the people on our team that put stuff together. And then, of course, throw in the vendors, which, I mean, nothing here would be possible without them, and you get them in the mix, and it's just a great time to get all these people together under one roof for a day or two. And she loved that. We all kind of love that because you'd get together and you'd see the people behind the articles, the people behind the website and the voices on the phone. Like this, everyone is listening to our voice today in the podcast. But it was just really cool to actually everybody get together and then like let our hair down and have fun and try to help each other out and network and go out for cocktails or whatever. So I know she loved that, and it's only 4 days a year, you know, that we do that, and I wish it was more. I mean, for our own live events, we're certainly on the road to many other events too, but getting out on the road was really good, especially as, just generally speaking, most of us as workers or employees tend to just work in our home offices, and, you know, you don't always get out that much. So it was really a neat and dynamic time to see her and have fun with her and everybody else out at a show.
And she was always so pleasant. I mean, like, our events are a lot of fun for us. But it's also very stressful and a lot of work. But she was always like a very calming presence when she was there. You know, like everything's going to be okay because we're a family, you know, and she was always very calming and soothing, I think, in that regard, to take what was a stressful time, you know, and make it like something saying that, well, we can do whatever. I thought that was awesome. So, Michael, I know your time with us is running a little limited because you have to get going here in a minute. So, is there any other stories about her that you want to share before you
go? I think just let me just say this: if you've read her stuff, you're a little bit better, a little bit smarter for having done that. But if you've met her, then you really got to meet a real great lady. She was a great colleague and a fun person. We haven't even spoken about her family. We don't need to go into that, you know, very personal side. But she just was really devoted to her parents and helped them out through a lot of things. And, you know, her love for her husband, Scott, and her daughters is really amazing. And so, again, she and I have sort of similar DNA that we're both Northeast Yankees that came down here to the South and with our families from kind of the New Jersey, the Tri-State area, New York City area. And so both kind of experienced very similar things coming down. But I know she was just a real great person. And I hope as many of you as possible got a chance to meet her at our shows. So that's kind of what I want to throw in on that. And guys, and you keep going. But I want to thank you guys for letting me sit in a little bit here and kind of share some stories of Cecilia. She was just a very great highlight in my career working with her over the last 10 years. And we'll never forget her. She did some great things for us.
Well said, sir. Well, thank you very much for coming on and talking to us and sharing those stories with us. And I genuinely hope we see you on another episode in the very near future.
You will. Carry on, guys. It was an honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Michael.
Well, it was nice to finally rope him into an episode.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I know this show is about Cecilia, but Michael is also just another fascinating and amazing person with a heart of gold. And, you know, a tough guy when he needs to be, but always a fair guy and a very supportive guy. And I really hope our wonderful listeners out there get a chance to get to know him as we have too, because we want to bring him on a little bit more. He's also, this is kind of, you know, somber talking, but he's also a very, very funny person. Would you agree
Absolutely.
With that, Rich?
And it's usually the first thing about him that comes up from people that know him, is he is hilariously funny and very quick-witted, spontaneous.
Yes, extremely so. So I hope you guys will get to learn a little bit more of that. But I want to talk about being supportive. And one of the things that I want to share about Cecilia that people may not necessarily know is that she is an extremely supportive person, in ways that I can only share my unique perspective on this, but for my case, she was always so supportive of me, and as someone who I think she was a little nervous about coming into the fold as being like the online digital guy doing all this crazy stuff and building that out, but I remember when she came to me. This is kind of how I ended up with a space in the magazine. So this is going to be kind of two stories in one.
Sure.
Here, Rich. So bear with me. So I had started and I had begun a couple months in, and I was kind of help getting our first new website launched, because I came in right on the cusp of the site that they had built for Channel Pro. That kind of before I started, and I kind of helped bring that to launch, and then. So I was doing that, and then Cecilia and I were chatting one day, and she's like, "Oh, you know, I got space in the magazine that I got to fill." And she's like, "How would you like to like write a column?" And she used that word column. and I said, "Oh, okay, you know, I can do a column, you know, like or you know, I'm like a recurring thing or whatever." She's like, "Yeah, well, how about you do a little tech column?" in the magazine. I'm like, okay, great. So I'm sitting here thinking column, right? And all of the magazines that I've read, a column was always like a 2-inch, you know, or 3-inch like stripe on the side of the page, like 150 words max, you know? So my submission to her was my first submission was very, very short. and she goes, oh, by the way, you have an entire page. And I'm like, what do you mean I have an entire page? You know? So I'm like, I've got to figure it out. I was like, oh, great. Now, somehow I committed myself to from a column in my mind to an entire page in the magazine, which over time has subsequently turned into two pages every month. So I have to always kind of come up with things to do. And when I say this is about her being supportive, let's just say, Rich, and you'll probably agree with this, that I have a certain voice when I write, and I always try to bring a sense of fun.
Absolutely.
Right? Would you? Yeah. So, and I hope all of the listeners kind of write some of the crazy things that I write, or at least from the perspective that I write, trying to weave in some personal thoughts with technology. And I have to say, Cecilia was always so supportive of some of the just ridiculous ideas that I had. That I like, this is a professional editor from Popular Science, and like 10 years doing magazines, and I would come to her with a column, and I would send it off, and I'm like, this is going to be the one where she's like, nope, you're insane. Give me something normal. But she would always come back, and she'd be like, she's like, I loved it, or like, I laughed hysterically, and I really thought, Rich, that the first one that I thought she was going to shoot down was the Hardware Hit Parade.
Yeah.
so for anyone who doesn't know what that one is, she assigned me a story. And this actually wasn't necessarily my column, but she assigned me a story called she's like, here's the title, Hardware Hit Parade, go through the latest hit hardware. It was the only direction I got. So I just kind of latched onto the word parade and decided to write that entire piece from the perspective of two parade commentators watching technology come down the street like floats. And and when I sent that off, I thought she was going to think I have just lost my mind. But she picked it as like one of her favorite pieces, you know?
Well, you know, and it very much goes to her skill as an editor, and her understanding basically of what is going to work for a reader. So I mean, yeah, she was absolutely not about to you know, squash something like that and make you present that content in a dry, dull way that is not you and not her voice. Like, she very much appreciated your voice and the fact that that kind of brought something different and valuable to the magazine. Yeah, so she would step back and let you do what I always imagine you, and this may be literally correct, but when you come up with these things, because more recently you did something where I can't remember what it was. You were writing about Windows, I think, and you brought the Transformers into it. And I always, you know, because we talk all the time about how hard it is to get the copy in from Matt. So it's got to be like 2 a.m. when he finally sits down to write these things. And I just imagine you being a little bit punchy. That's where these sort of kooky ideas come from, is you burning the midnight oil trying to get something out. And, yeah, she was always very supportive of whatever sprung from your brain.
Yeah, some of it is because, like, I don't have any ideas. And then, like, I will get an idea and And I will say, sometimes it's put off because I don't have any ideas and I don't know what to write about. Sometimes it is because I'm doing a lot of other things. Like this particular month, I am not late because I don't have any ideas. It's because we just released our new registration system on our event site. And, you know, like, I wanted to get it done last night, but there was a couple bugs that popped up that I didn't anticipate when we opened it up to anonymous traffic. So, like, last night I was kind of up fixing a couple of those little things. So this, I do a lot of things and I get busy. But when I get an idea, I get a lot of crazy ideas. But at least the nice thing is that I could get a crazy idea, and I knew after, you know, working with her for you know, 4 years, and the way she would kind of give me the room to do some of these things. Like, I always could, like, know, like, I could get an idea. I could think maybe it's a little crazy, but I think it'll turn out good. And I could just run with it with confidence that she wasn't going to, you know, come back and be like, you know, it's got to be drier. It's got to be, you know, less kooky. You know, I think she always liked the fact that there was always a couple pages in the magazine that was going to be a little bit still informative, but a little bit different. And I appreciated her and loved her for that more than I could probably express.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, we'll listen soon to some thoughts from other people who knew her. It's been both striking and totally unsurprising to me, the outpouring of emotion and thoughts and memories about Cecilia in the past week, when people learned about her passing. And I think a lot of the people who were so wounded by that and so eager to kind of express their thoughts and sympathies and even contribute to this podcast did so because she was so supportive of them and supportive of and concerned about. You know, one of the amazing and hugely characteristic things about her is that she always wanted to know what was going on in your world, and if there was anything there that, you know, she thought she could help with, she just dived in and did it. You know, it's like people didn't even think to ask her for help, and she was helping already. And it really didn't matter in a way, how well she knew you. I can't even tell you how many people I've spoken to just in the last week who have told me that kind of story, where it's like I had just met her, or, you know, we worked together some years ago, and she just sort of flung herself into helping me out. Just as a quick aside, every now and again, through the years, I would go to our homepage on channelpronetwork.com just to kind of see what was new up there. And I would see some news story that I hadn't had anything to do with that involved, let's just say, an obscure product from an obscure vendor, you know, in an obscure market that she had clearly put up there. And I would kind of think to myself, you know, like, what? Why did she invest time in that? What was she thinking exactly? And I kind of understood it at the time. As I've spoken to people, you know, more recently, I've really come to understand better. I mean, that the issue was just that if you are, you know, a PR person and she knew you, she therefore cared about you. And if you had some story you were having trouble, you know, getting attention for, she'd sometimes just put it out there on the website, just because that's kind of what she was like. She wanted to be, you know, helpful where she could be for everyone.
And she was always very very helpful to me, especially when I was getting started. And she never complained. You know, like, she always would do whatever she could to help anybody out. That example as well, and others. She was also this. I need to bring this. I'm gonna one more story, and I think then we'll listen to some of the outpouring that we've gotten in from people that she knew. But I have one really funny story, and it involves our Chicago event 2 years ago at the cocktail reception, and my wife is the one who told me the story, because I got a chance to bring my wife Donna into that cocktail party, and just to introduce everybody and get to know everybody. And Donna and Cecilia totally hit it off. Donna absolutely loved Cecilia and thought she was great. And one of the stories is that she told me, one of the reasons why she really liked her and she was very memorable to her was because Cecilia could always take some kind of weird or awkward situation and make it absolutely hysterical. So my wife is telling me that they're standing around like this kind of bench thing with like carpet on it or whatever in this like hallway where we were having our cocktail party. And my wife, she like spills a glass of wine by mistake. And Donna said, she's like, it was very embarrassing, and it was very like, you know, like, here she is talking to Cecilia and spilling wine. And it was just one of these moments, like, and my wife is very shy and doesn't like to cause things. And she said it was so funny because her and Cecilia kind of like grabbed her by the arm, and then they just kind of like sidestepped away from where she spilled the wine in this kind of really funny way, and made light of it. And Donna told me that story, and she was a really big fan of Cecilia ever since. So I just thought that was kind of a funny story. And she was like that all the time. She, like, Cecilia was very serious and she was very good at her job, but she could also be incredibly fun and goofy all the time. Like, it was just part of her personality.
And what that story kind of just makes me think of, I mean, and not any particular example, but I mean, if you did something embarrassing, if you screwed something up, she was very quick and very good at helping you cover it up. I mean, it just sounds very much like her to, you know, instead of laughing or making an issue out of it, she immediately understood that this was embarrassing for Donna, and she immediately sort of, you know, helped her out of that that moment. That's the kind of thing that she was really good at.
Absolutely was. And there were tears over here, not only from me, but also from my wife, when we heard the news. So, Rich, maybe this is a good time to bring up some of the audio and listen to what some of her friends and colleagues had to say, and then maybe we'll touch on that a little bit after we take a listen. What do you say?
I think so. Let's do that.
All right. So everyone, here's a whole lot of people talking about Cecilia.
This is Terry Hedden, CEO of Marketopia. I was incredibly saddened by the news about Cecilia this week. She was an amazing person. She was nothing but professional, polite. She always wore an amazing smile that brightened every room that she entered. I had the privilege of working with her on a number of webinars and conferences, and just every interaction I've ever had with her was positive. It was a pleasure, in fact. She had a love for the IT channel, a passion for it, and genuinely cared about helping resellers and vendors succeed. While she will certainly be missed by her family, friends, coworkers, and the entire IT community, I am very sure she is smiling on all of us from above. I wish nothing but the best for her entire family. God bless you, Cecilia.
Stanley Lewisant, principal and founder of Fluid Designs. Cecilia was actually pretty interesting to me because I was trying to get on the Channel Pro magazine, and Mike Siggins has put her in touch with me, and it was pretty awesome that me and her actually bonded right away. She actually was, her hometown was actually where my office is located, so we instantly hit it off and talked about the neighborhood and different things of that nature, and just built a bond right from there, you know, two Jersey folks. And it was pretty awesome to actually get to meet her in person. She was just full of life, pretty much the life of party at the room, and just always knew how to have a good time. And what was really interesting to me was how I actually got to sit down at a bar, actually at the last Channel Pro event that I went to this time last year in Jersey. And actually, we sat down, we had a drink, and actually I got to learn more about her, about how she was with her family, what everybody meant to her, the important job that she did over at Channel Pro, and how the team was just nothing but a family to her, an extended family, right, that she spent a lot of time with. But, you know, Cecilia was just an awesome person. She always wanted to do right by everybody. And she pretty much, you know, in my personal opinion, you know, sounded, you know, to me, just by the way on the outside, was probably the glue of the company, right? Kept all you boys in line. One of the few women on staff, right? And the editor. So, you know, her loss is going to be felt all around. And definitely, you know, to me, because, you know, she allowed me to take part of the platform. And I'm gonna just miss her smile and her bubbly personality. And, you know, we wish this could be, you know, a different way, but unfortunately it is what it is. But, you know, my condolences to everybody over at Channel Pro and her family. And hopefully everybody makes it through this all right.
This is Mike Schmittman with Transformers. We're all shocked and saddened that Cecilia is no longer with us. I write occasional articles that Cecilia would take and publish in the Channel Pro magazine. And we all know her as a wonderful, loving, caring person, but I had a very high respect for Cecilia. I think she was a brilliant editor. She would take my articles and rewrite them, tighten them up, edit. She was a relentless fact checker, and I had to make sure all the quotes and references were perfectly documented. But every time she would take an article, it always came out better than when it came in. And I used to kid her that I wanted her to rewrite all my articles because they always looked so much better after she got done with it. We miss her so terribly. It's such a shock, and we're so sad to hear this happening. We all love Cecilia Galvin. Bye.
Hey there, I'm Manuel Palachuk, a business coach and entrepreneur. I've had the honor of working directly with the people over at Channel Pro for a couple of years now on their tour event. And every time I go, it's like meeting up with family that I actually like. They're just really great people, and they always make me feel so welcome. I still remember the first event I ever attended. It didn't take me long to figure out the dynamics of the group, or at least my perception of it. And it looks kind of like this. On the front line, Rich Freeman I see as like the wise uncle who's very well in the know and, you know, kind of sees everything that goes on, whether you know it or not. And Michael Siggins is the, you know, mostly responsible patriarch, while Cecilia Galvin is the more level-headed matriarch who keeps the clan in line. And yeah, Joel, Daisy, and Matt, and Lisa, and everyone else, that makes you the clan. So I came to this conclusion after one particular session where Michael had followed a comment from someone on stage with a sly double entendre. You know, it got him a pretty good groan from the audience. Well, it was immediately followed by Cecilia saying something like, "We're supposed to be a religious-based organization here." And, you know, Michael simply, you know, sidestepped back behind the podium with a smile on his face and continued on as he does. And I'm sharing this memory because it occurs to me, so who's going to keep the clan in line now? Cecilia, you will be sorely missed every day of our lives.
Joshua Liberman, President, Net Sciences, MSP, photographer, traveler, and writer. I met Cecilia about 5 years ago when she asked me, "So what does a network cost?" And I said, "About $100. This led to my first story for Channel Pro. Later, she commented on some of my photography, and that led to my first shooting job in the IT industry, also for Channel Pro. She was very good at prodding folks to excel, and she was a very serious editor, picking apart my work like nobody has since I studied journalism. She had a quick wit and managed to inject it into nearly any encounter, and she was always supportive and kind, pushing me but never too hard. Her sense of humor was a constant reminder not to take ourselves or the industry too seriously. Her sudden loss should remind us not to forget to say thanks, not to forget we can always improve, and not to take for granted even our next sunrise. Goodbye, good friend."
Hi there, it's Jay McBain from Forrester Research, Principal Analyst for Global Channels. I was heartbroken last week when I learned of the passing of Cecilia. She was one of the first people that I met in 2009 when I moved from Canada to the United States. She helped me in my early mission to understand the industry as well as meet some of the key folks, not only at Channel Pro, but around the industry as well. I want to wish her family and friends and the whole family at Channel Pro my deepest condolences and, again, heartbroken over the news.
This is Dave Seibert. I want to share that it's been my privilege to know Cecile. She's been with Channel Pro and the Channel Pro family for about 10 years, but I knew her before that, back in the mid-1980s when she was with Personal Computing Magazine. So we've known each other for quite some time. And Cecile and I have always had multiple touch points together. Under IT Innovators, I've done speaking at SMB forum events and writing articles. And of course, at SMB Tech Fest, partnering together. And before that, SMB Technology Network that we did together. But you know, that aside, my favorite memory is always the one-on-one time that Cecile and I spent together. Even though we might be at a busy event, she always made you feel special, and she'd say to me, "Hey, Dave, let's sit down for a few minutes." And she'd always kind of go over to an area with like a couch, and we would sit down and catch up together on what we're both up to and family time, personal time, and that was always something special. She would take that time together, and we had that relationship time together. It was really great. But allow me to extend my best and prayers towards Cecile's family and her Channel Pro family. Our industry has really lost an incredible person.
Okay, so that was lots of Cecilia's colleagues and people she's worked with and lives she's touched over the years, from people like Josh Lieberman and Mike Schmidtman and a whole bunch more. And I expect we put this call out for people to submit audio. I have a feeling we will get some more. We wanted to get as many as we could for this particular episode. But please, if you're out there and you knew Cecilia, and you want to record a short clip of you telling us a little bit about her and your interaction with her, we will be happy to air these. Going forward for a while, so don't feel like you had to get it in today. Get it in whenever you want. We want people to know how great she was, and do this in her memory. So, Rich, I mean, lots of outpouring there, and from a lot of great people who I've also come to know very well. Some who I have no idea some of these people are, but you can definitely tell that. They noticed a lot of the same things that that we've been kind of talking about, that she was mm-hmm. just very pleasant and very supportive and always just loved interacting with her. Was there any particular ones that kind of stood out to you?
Well, to provide some maybe some backstory, you know, what's interesting about all of that, all the audio we just listened to, is, you know, how many people were so touched by her, and for the handful of people you just heard from, you know, there's 10, 20 people out there for each one of them who probably has a similar experience. This was how she kind of affected people. And we're recording this on a Friday. We sent an email out inviting those folks to share their thoughts very late on Monday this week. And I mean, literally within hours, minutes, you know, we started getting responses from some of those folks. Matt and I were out at dinner that night, and some of this audio was starting to come in. And people who submitted audio to me throughout the week were just expressing their gratitude, basically, for having had, you know, the opportunity to speak about this and be heard about this and tell the world. You know, they want people to know what Cecilia was about and what she what she meant to them. You heard one of the speakers you heard there was Terry Hedden from Marketopia. And, you know, he and I were just emailing quickly back and forth when he sent me that audio. And he said at one point in that exchange that, you know, we should all aspire to provoke that kind of response. Yeah, it would be a great thing if there were so many people so moved to say that kind of thing about all of us when it's our time, essentially. Like, that's a way to live your life, is to try to kind of be the person who inspires those sorts of thoughts, and Cecilia was.
Yeah, and I honestly can't think of a single person who has ever said anything negative about her. And I don't mean that, like, in this kind of BS, you know, looking back way. I really don't think anybody has ever said anything negative to me about Cecilia as long as I have been in this job and interacted with people who's also interacted with her. Can you think of anybody?
No.
Nope. I can't either. Josh Lieberman, Joshua, in honor of Cecilia, Joshua Lieberman sent in his audio there. And, you know, he has an upcoming story that'll be on the cover soon. Rich, do you know which issue that's going in?
That runs in our July issue.
Oh, okay. So this very upcoming issue, he'll be the cover.
Yeah.
And it's a great piece about kind of building like an on-premise cloud. And Josh is a very he's a very good writer, and he's very smart, and he and I have had some conversations like outside of the, because Cecilia first edited his piece, and Josh has worked with editors before, and he talked to me, and he goes, man, it's been a while since I've worked under an editor. And she's like, I've never been edited this much in my life. And I'm like, that's because that's the way she is, man. I'm like, you should see what she does to my writing too, you know? But I think, we kind of joked about that a little bit, and he was like, wow, I can't believe how much she had. And she was catching everything. And I said, you know, like this is working with Cecilia every day, but I can't think of anybody who would say that their work wasn't better after she touched it. And I am afraid for what my writing is going to look like with her gone. she was just so good at it. I can't stress enough how she could just weave words like cloth. How amazing she was with language and expressing content in print or ideas in print.
You know, I'm sort of, she did most of the work on the July issue. I'm sort of guiding it to completion now. And I keep reminding myself basically that, you know, that there ain't no way you're going to fill those shoes. So don't even try. Don't even think about this in terms of trying to be, you know, the next Cecilia. It's not happening. Just do the best you can, basically.
Yeah, that's all we can do is the best we can, and that's all we can do to move on. So, any other things stand out amongst those submissions that we just listened to?
Not so much about those submissions, but one thing I did just want to say that kind of popped into my head. You were talking about Josh before, and I want to give him one more shout out there, because on the day last week that we all got the awful news about Cecilia, when, you know, you and Michael and I, everybody at Channel 4 was just in shock, Josh took it upon himself to go. So he's a very talented writer and a smart guy, like you said. He's also a gifted photographer, and he has done a lot of photography at our live events and so on. And he sort of took it upon himself to go into his files and dig up a bunch of pictures of Cecilia and send them over to Michael and myself. And if you've been to our website in the last week and looked at the memorial to Cecilia up there, there are some pictures of her included in that piece. That's Josh's handiwork, and a very public thank you to Josh for thinking to do that without anyone even suggesting it might be helpful. It just, he thought it might be. He did it, and he sent those pictures over, and it turned out to be very helpful to us and very timely too.
Yeah, and they're great shots. Really captures her well. We'll touch on the memorial piece a little bit towards the end of the show with some information for those who want to read that to go and do it. But we'll touch on that in a minute. So thank you to Josh. I also want to do a little shout out to a few people who put out some very touching blog posts or mentions. So to Carl Palachuk, who put a beautiful blog post up on his blog. Carl is about as close to internal team family as I think you can get without actually, you know, being officially employed by Channel Pro. And he's an amazing person and very kind and very much loved in here. And I think he also very much enjoy spending time with us, because at least if he didn't, he wouldn't, you know, volunteer to do all this stuff with us. and he put up a very touching blog post that I'll put a link to on the show notes page. So I encourage you to go and check that out. Rich, there was a couple other great pieces. I got to look it up in my email here. There was a piece from Rich. Do you have that handy? I should have had it up.
I'm not sure who you're thinking of here. There were a lot of really nice thoughts shared online and social media, especially.
Yeah, there was a great article that someone wrote for. I think they worked at a PR firm, perhaps, or something of that nature, and I read it, and it was just excellent. I will find that, and I will also post a link to that and any other great tributes that we find to Cecilia. We will post online for you guys to go and read, as well as our own memorial post that we'll touch on here in a minute. So, Rich, that leads me into one other thing that I know that we found out speaking with her husband that I thought was very, very touching for you and I, who we got to work together. But I got a couple funny stories, I want to share from being able to interact with her husband, who I'd never met before, and I don't think you had either, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah, so I mean, I've heard all about him, and I've heard all about her daughters, and it was great meeting them. And Cecilia and I mean, we've become very good friends over the years, having to just work together, and you know, constantly on the phone. And I was kind of her, sounding board when she really needed to vent. And I would go to her, and we would just talk. We'd talk about family, and we would talk about how our girls were doing in gymnastics, and I would talk about my kids and what we did over the weekend. And we just it was always great to have that interaction. So one funny story was when we met her husband. You remember when everyone was kind of introducing themselves, and you know, I believe you said Rich, you know, and he said, "Oh, Rich, it's nice to meet you." And I said, "Hi, I'm Matt." And he goes, "Matt." And I said, oh gosh, I can only imagine the things she told you about me. So I thought that was kind of a light moment there. But also, it turns out that her husband told us that she really, really loved doing this podcast. Do you want to share what some of the things that he said?
Well, it sort of perfectly dovetailed with our experience too, right? So I mean, you know, this the media business folks, you most of you work in IT, and it's you run small businesses, and it's high pressured and long hours, and so you know what I'm talking about when I say it's very much like that in the media world too. Quite often in a given week, the 90-ish minutes or so that the three of us spend recording this podcast was like the most fun 90 minutes of the week. So we were working, but it didn't feel very much like work, essentially doing it together. And that's basically what we heard from Scott, is just that it really didn't matter what was going on around the house when it was podcast recording time. She was out the door. Okay, gotta go, podcast time. And she took off and headed for the office and closed the door. And because, you know, like the two of us, she very much looked forward to that.
She did, and which is surprising to some, because she, of the one of us when we first started talking about doing this, she was the one who I think was the most apprehensive. Most people wouldn't think that this live, you know, voice kind of format would be something that she would have wanted to do. But the whole concept of this came out just from conversations that you and Cecilia and I would have, like after meetings. You know, sometimes we would just stay on the phone of our little editorial meeting, and then we would just like talk about stuff. And you know, sometimes 30 minutes would go by, and we were having these great, insightful and kind of fun conversations. And that's kind of how the idea of the podcast came up. It's like, hey, why don't we just do this every week and record it and share it with our readers and the people who, you know, our audience, in a sense. And she was the most hesitant about that, wasn't she?
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting as you say that, because I told the story before about the first time I met her face to face when we were doing that webinar, and she was really apprehensive about that. She was, you know, very concerned about any kind of public speaking sort of appearance. But I mean, over time, she got to be really good at it. She was obviously very good at the podcast. You know, she was very good as a moderator at our events. So I think it always made her nervous to be in that kind of public spotlight, but she was quite good at it, and she actually got a lot more and more confident about it over time.
Yeah. Oh, she was great to listen to. I've gone back and listened to several of the episodes that we've written, especially lately, and she's always super fun to listen to and always very insightful and never boring, I should say. Never boring at all. And I was very, very glad to hear that for the last year or so that we've been doing this, that it was always something that she just really looked forward to. And I hope our audience out there appreciates that and know that she really loved doing this for you. And especially, you know, at the first few episodes, of course, were very rocky because we were all very new at it. But she really grew to love this, and it was always the highlight of her week. And I think we would thank her for coming on and doing this. She would also thank you for listening and being a part of it. And I'm sure that she would hope that you continue to listen, going forward. So, on that note, because of how much she loved to do the show, Rich, we've gone back and we've, picked out, several clips, of shows past, and we're put together a little montage of some great moments, of Cecilia, that I think everyone would enjoy to listen to. So what do you say we take a listen to that?
Let's do that.
Let's do that.
And I'm Cecilia Galvin, and I am the executive editor of Channel Pro SMB. I've been with the magazine pretty much since the beginning, and I'm very excited to be doing this podcast today. A little bit about me. No, you don't want to know a little bit about me. But really what my main role here is I keep the trains running on time, pretty much. I'm the keeper of the schedule.
I would also say queen of the channel, too. And as far as Channel Pro is concerned, like, everyone needs to know there would be no Channel Pro without Cecilia Galvin. She's like one of the greatest editors on the planet. She's got her finger in everything, and she does just a phenomenal job.
More. Tell me more.
What do you think, Cecilia? Do you think that this is indicative? I'll use that word.
Indicative.
Indicative. I liked it the way I said it better.
I do too.
Do you think it is indicative of?
And if last week we were noobs, this week we are
plebes.
It was much better than what I was going to say. So
yeah,
thank you for interjecting on that one.
That out in case you're interested in learning more about whether managed services certifications, do you need one? What value does it bring to your practice? That kind of thing. Check it out.
Awesome. Well, that looks like a jam-packed issue. There'll also be, I'm sure, a couple pages of my stuff in there, which, we will just have to see what that is. I don't even know yet.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
But it will be two pages. Just so anybody knows, if the magazine is late, it is generally my fault. But it will be two pages of English Pulitzer Prize-winning gold. Not.
I've been trying to keep up with the two of you, basically.
Have we been dumping stuff on you?
Well, we're not running a marathon, I know that.
No. But, you know, following Matt around, trying to get his copy out of him, and then trying to figure out what it says in his copy. You know.
Yeah.
Things I do. I told you, I keep the trains running on time.
Absolutely.
Well, I didn't hear for any draft revisions, so that means either you didn't want to wait for me to do them, or you did them yourself.
I did them myself.
Okay. So, if you all could give me maybe 2.5 minutes, so I could run downstairs and fill up my coffee. Or if anybody needs to go potty. Anybody need
to... I'm fine, but go ahead. Tank up.
Thank you. Let me caffeinate myself. I'll be right back.
We've definitely got to do a blooper reel, though, at some point. like Matt,
when
at the very
says,
beginning
like,
of the recording.
Go potty.
Yeah.
Rich, yeah, you now know what RDRAM is. Pretty cool, huh?
It is pretty cool.
So,
corner of the technology world I just didn't know about.
Yeah.
I'm still awake.
Are you going to tell that to your kids as like a bedtime story?
I'm going to tell them that RDRAM. I'm going to tell them all about it, and then I'm going to tell them there'll be a quiz.
Okay, good. Like, if I walked in and saw this, Like, if this is like the state of what I saw, I would fire that person, right?
Well, that may in fact be what happened, because the whole point of this is, you know, when people are called in to fix someone else's work or to take over when the person just disappears. It's like, oh boy, I feel more sorry for the second person to come in. You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. I'm looking at the last image.
Yeah.
Like, not only can you not see any. I mean, one could say that the wires are about as good as you get, but honestly, it looks like the servers are covered in spaghetti.
It does, and the thing that blew my mind about it is that every single wire is the same color. Like, I think someone did that on purpose.
I know. Oh, I would, like, if I worked there, I would, like, cut out, like, big red circles and put them up like meatballs. You know? It's like pasta fell from the sky.
You ought to draw those into the picture.
I should.
And I make should. A one that comes after it and say, see the end result.
For those who didn't get the joke, which is probably everyone, including my wife.
Do you make her listen to the podcast?
Oh gosh,
is that
no,
like
would,
what happens at your
no,
house?
No, she would fall asleep.
She'd be insane.
My wife makes it a point not to laugh at anything that I say, because I try to be kind of a silly, goofy guy. But like, she actually makes it a point not to laugh because she knows it drives me completely crazy.
Ah, sweet revenge.
Oh yes, oh yes.
Well, our next one, which is about six-ish weeks away now, is in Matt's backyard in Chicago. And then in September, we are in Long Beach, California. And in November, we are in New Jersey, just outside of New York, the New York metro region.
And just to clarify, it's not actually in my backyard in Chicago. So it's not like Mr. Kitty will be there and my neighbor's goats and whatever. Like it's in my proverbial backyard, the Chicagoland area, not in my yard itself.
Literally your backyard,
right? Yeah, just. But while you're back there, you know, there's a bunch of sticks and stuff. Maybe you could pick up. I could get the lawnmower out for people. You know,
we could do tractor rides.
Tractors, yeah, we got plenty of those around here. Yeehaw!
I had no idea the neighbors had goats.
Yes, my neighbors across the street over there have a nice large lot with they raise goats there.
Wow!
I hear them bang all the time.
Suburbia.
Well, I'm suburbia. I'm in a town that's it's transitioning between rural farm and suburbia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but kind of stalled at you know, when the market's kind of
it stalled at the goats.
Yeah, so we still got farms and horses, and then we have like I live like a normal suburban lot with a normal house that you would, you know, expect to see, and there's plenty of that stuff around here, but there's also lots of farms and stuff in the middle. It's quiet, it's quaint. There's no stoplights. There's no stoplights.
That's not Seattle.
It's not Seattle. There's no stoplights in my town.
I do occasionally see goats, by the way. There is a. Like a small empty lot across the street from my building, and now and again, whoever owns that, it's probably the city, brings in goats to eat all the underbrush there. Rent-a-goats. Oh. Are you familiar with this service? Yeah, I am.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, if I wanted to, I could have my neighbor bring his goats over here if my grass got long. They'd chew my yard up in 5 minutes.
Yeah?
They eat like there's no tomorrow. So, next week on Goat Weekly... we can talk about the ritual mating habits of most... Okay.
Suburban goats.
Of suburban goats. My gosh. We've lost it, guys.
This is a tan leather wallet. Well, tan, brown leather wallet. And it does not come in black.
Huh.
Come on.
That's odd.
But it is
weird
a really
that cool. I would, like, crush the battery if I sat on this? You know, most guys put it in their
come
back
on,
pocket,
you're not
you know?
That big.
Well, you know,
really?
A lot of guys have big butts, so.
I like big butts.
And I cannot lie.
Cannot lie.
I'll have you do all the research, though, just in case. Because who knows what's going to pop up on that computer screen when you're Googling away.
You've got kids in the house there.
I do, and I know you don't, so you don't have to worry about little eyes gazing at things. Although you have like an iguana or something, right?
I have several of those, of course. I don't want to be lonely when I'm traveling.
So do you put on, like, the TV when you leave, or?
Yeah, absolutely. The Iguana Network.
No, what's it? Animal Planet. Animal Planet.
Yeah.
Animal Planet.
You know, I had friends I used to watch their dog when they would travel. And when I would walk into the house, I would always get kind of scared because I'd hear people talking. And they always left NPR on the radio in the kitchen on for their dog. Because they didn't want him to be lonely.
Oh my God, that's like torture for the dog.
Yeah, he's like, oh my God, do I have to hear about this again?
Yeah, right.
Like, what does a dog do when it wants peace and quiet?
Goes upstairs.
Oh, okay, I guess. Well, as long as it's not too loud. Crazy. So, tip of the day, do not torture your pets with talk radio when you are gone. Because believe me, it just sounds like noise to them, and they'd probably rather have the peace and quiet. But iguanas love Animal Planet, and apparently, and other things. So
that one I did play.
Who didn't play Doom? I bet even Cecilia played Doom.
Yeah.
Nope.
Cecilia, did you do anything back in the computer days?
What do you mean, back in the computer days? Aren't we in the computer days?
No, like the early computer days, you know, and the, like, DOS games and, you know, like, when, like,
guess
any...
what?
What?
I worked for a magazine called Personal Software back in the computer days, and I used to review those games.
Right, so you didn't play Doom?
I don't think so.
I want to go back and read some of your game reviews. Are they still available?
I think so. I doubt it. Oh, my God.
I want to know exactly what games you reviewed, because I want to have a video game conversation with you on some game that you have actually played.
Space Invaders.
Space Invaders. You know that one game with a dot that goes back and forth? You know, it's kind of like table tennis.
As in Pong?
We could have an in-depth discussion about Pong. They did a whole slew of...
Yeah, Xerox did a line, but then HP, I think, took the cake with however many. 27? 54.
Yeah, 54.
54 studios. Printer intros.
Can you imagine
sitting there with the guy who's telling you about their new printer line? Then we have the 5947, this 8991, and then the R2-D2 model. I mean, really, it's like, how do you keep that stuff straight?
I love it. Star Wars printers. You know, they make Star Wars everything else. Why not Star Wars printers?
I know.
Xerox, HP, Oki, listen up.
Yep.
Come out with a all-in-one printer shaped, floor-standing, shaped like R2-D2. You lift his head up to scan. You know, you load the paper in the front of him. I'm telling you, it would sell like gangbusters.
Yeah, maybe not.
It would. It so would.
Yeah,
doing a BB-8 shaped one might be kind of tough, though, because, you know, he's round, so he would probably fall over, but...
Yeah. He's my favorite.
BB-8?
Yeah.
Even more than R2?
Well, R2's the classic, but BB-8 was pretty appealing.
He was... You know, it's funny. It's like the characters you love most in Star Wars movies are the robots.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
It is kind of weird. I really liked KSO in Rogue One. Did you see Rogue One?
No.
Okay. There's a robot in there that it's like a robot with like a chip on his shoulder, and it's a lot of one-liners, but it was pretty funny stuff.
A robot with attitude.
Yeah, definitely. He kind of stole the show a little bit, almost too much though, because it was like every time he was going to say something, you knew it was going to be snarky.
Yeah, but. People love snarky robots.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't love a snarky robot? Let's talk about soup.
Soup.
Top three soups. Go.
Okay, I will tell you my one thing about soup. I'm going to.
Okay.
You asked, I answered.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, soup is good. Soup is good food.
So
I want to hear your top soups.
Okay. My top soup brand used to be Progresso. However, I went to the market I'm going to say a month or so ago, and I saw that there was a new, I think it's put out by Campbell's, and the biggest thing on the label, it says yes. And I was like, yes, what do you mean? And it's more of a premium brand, I guess. And I had a coupon, so I got a freebie. I took it home, and I picked out like the one that I thought was the least obnoxious, which was like chicken noodle. And it is amazing soup. It really does taste homemade. There's no canned flavor. There's no... It's really awesome. So there's my soup story.
So the yes... Yeah, but which... But what's the top three soups, though? Like Italian wedding? Is it tomato? Is it...
Oh, I like Italian wedding.
What's your
But my favorite is chicorina.
Chicorina?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like the chicken with the little pasta ball thing?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right. So that's one. What's another one?
Italian wedding, chicorina, and I don't know.
I had a tomato basil with bacon the other day that was pretty good. That one
Who
was
makes that,
that? One, that one was a Progresso one that I thought was pretty good. Other soups. You know, I like those stupid ramen noodle soup cup things.
I do too.
I like those a lot. That's
They're
like
so bad for you.
I know. It's like let's just dump salt.
It's like
down
a billion milligrams of salt.
Oh, but it's
and
so
those
good.
Those noodles that hydrate themselves.
Like the yakisoba noodles.
Yeah, whatever it is, they're really fattening.
Yeah, I know. It's so good. It's the spicy, like the spicy chicken and the spicy shrimp with.
Yeah, I love all that stuff.
Yeah, it's all.
It's horrible. Amazing. It's horrible.
Yeah. Next week on Soup Weekly, we will be talking about the top four chefs in the world who make homemade soups for soup kitchens across the country. Soup Weekly. We really went off the rails with this one.
Hey, Cecilia, how's your acting skills?
Well, it depends.
Do you have this piece up? Could you pull it up?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so let's just you and I read the first. Let's just read like the first part about where should we go? Oh yeah, okay. I want you to be Joan. I'll be Phil, and in your cheesy commentator voice, I want you to start with "And Speaking of Surprises" by the HP Voxel. It's on page one.
Okay.
You start there, and then in your most cheesy commentator voice, and then we'll read. I'll read to where we introduce the Yoga 460. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
And then the people get a feel of how this works. Take it away, Joan.
And speaking of surprises, here comes the first device. It looks like a big printer.
Well, that's not just any printer, Joan. That's HP's breakthrough 3D printer, the Voxel. You know, everyone's been wondering when the king of print would finally make its mark in 3D, and did it ever! Featuring the HP Fusion 3D printing solution, HP blah 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 speeds and feeds, go!
Sounds impressive, Phil. What kind of new parts can it make?
Well, if you've seen 3D printed parts in the past, you know that solid plastic pieces can be done easily. But Voxel can also work with materials that make bendable, flexible parts and extra strong parts, too. Did you know that HP printed a huge chain that weighs 1/4 pound, but is strong enough to lift 5 tons?
Wow! Finally, there's something strong enough to hold all my bags when I go shopping!
Oh, it's strong, Joan, but not that strong. Okay, we can stop there.
You get the picture, people?
About social media marketing. Why don't you introduce that, and we'll pick it apart. Like a chicken, like a rotisserie chicken on...
Chicken on a bone.
Yes.
Chicken on a spit.
I love it.
All right. Okay. Social media marketing. Oh, my God.
Just as a...
I hit my funny bone.
And FYI for our audience, it's Friday. In case you didn't guess, we're recording this on a Friday, hence the chicken noises.
Oh my God.
I can tell you things that I never thought I would ever hear in my life. One of those would have been Cecilia making chicken noises. And it was really good.
Sorry.
It was really good. I was thoroughly convinced. And there are lots of chickens that live near me, so you are one of the chicken clan.
Okay. Clan of the Chicken.
And we've got a show title. We have one of the greatest females on the planet, other than my lovely wife, of course. But one of the other greatest females on the planet, the one who keeps Channel Pro rolling along through the dark like a freight train, is our editor-in-chief, Cecilia Galvin.
Hey, I am one of the greatest women on the planet, according to my husband.
Hopefully he says the greatest woman on the planet.
Oh, he probably does.
Yeah, he always does.
Or else he'd be dead.
Yeah, you gotta put the spouse first. Otherwise, yeah. You know, they make you sleep totally on the couch and stuff.
Yeah. So, hi, everybody.
That's two votes, and I'll cast mine. That's three. You got three people.
All right. Yay.
So, as all of you kind of probably noticed, not so much of always Cecilia talking about feature stories, some of that, but some of the great, you know, off-script moments, which is, we don't have a script, but some of the banter and some of the moments that really highlight her personality and how much fun we would have. Rich, do you want to call any of those out? We can do a couple of them. And I know you sent me a list, and I have a very similar list and a few others that you probably heard there. But any of those struck out as some of your favorite Cecilia moments?
Well, I mean, the thing I most want to say is just she had a wonderful laugh, and I just loved hearing it. It's some, you know, Matt and I were kind of deciding, well, what do we pull together for that reel? And there were some moments I was tempted to send you but didn't, because they're important memories to me. I don't know how interesting they would be to anyone else because she didn't say all that much. It's just one of us said something and she busted out laughing. And you know, when she would laugh just totally honestly and spontaneously like that, I just loved it. And I mean, you know, earlier in the show you heard Ellen Maraskin, one of our freelancers, say how much she enjoyed making Celia laugh. And after I, you know, first listened to that clip right after Ellen sent it to me, I wrote back, yeah, me too. You know, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, make sure you send me that clip. I want to get that in there too. I always love some good make Cecilia bust out in laughter moments. So I think I'll say a couple of my favorite ones. So the goat discussion, I think, is probably going to go down in history as one of our most bizarre and just absolutely hysterical conversations that we've ever had as a group. I remember talking to her after that episode, and she commented again on just how hysterical that was, and she was laughing about it afterwards. And I also remember listening to that show after later when I was taking a walk, and we got to that spot, and it was just, and I was like, I probably looked like a crazy person just walking down the street laughing hysterically. So I really enjoyed that one, and I have to say it was just the one we did the week before last, our last show in episode 47. You can even hear me kind of, because I tried to get away from the microphone a little bit. But when she made the chicken noises, I nearly fell out of my office chair, and it was like almost getting to the point where I was going to hit the ground and like start pounding the ground in laughter. I so did not expect that or see it coming, and I don't think anybody could have timed it or done it as perfectly as her to make it just one of the funniest things ever.
You know, you were saying before that part of what we try to do with the podcast is just capture that dynamic when the three of us, you know, we're hanging out. And I often tell people, you know, when the podcast comes up in conversation and people sort of talk about how, you know, you guys are sort of fun to hang out with online or whatever, I'll often tell people, you know, we talk a little bit before we start recording and we talk a little bit after we stop recording. And if you could somehow hear all of that, not just the part that we record and then distribute, but the entire sort of, you know, three-way meeting, it would all sound the same. You know, it's not like we sort of turn on our show personalities when the tape starts rolling. But what you see is sort of what you get. And if you were to somehow be a fly on the wall when the three of us were hanging out in person together somewhere, it's the goat talk is probably what you would hear. I mean, yes, we would talk about the industry and technology and the magazine and all sorts of other stuff, but probably the most characteristic kind of banter is that sort of off-the-wall stuff that we wind up talking about a lot.
Yeah, and you hit it right on the head. You could take any conversation we've had, if it was recorded, and you could cut it out, insert it into a show, and you would think we just recorded it on the show. I mean, we didn't try to do anything different or change the way we are. What you see is what you got with us. And it was one of the things that I think made this show special for a lot of people. And I know we've gotten lots of feedback from people, and they always say they enjoyed it, enjoyed listening, because, you know, not only because, you know, you learn some stuff and we cover the news, but also because it's funny, you know, like I always strive to derail every conversation we ever have in with something funny. But I like to go for this mix of like 50 to 60%, you know, good information and knowledge, and, you know, 40 to 50% entertainment, you know, because it's got to be fun. And we have been told we're a very fun group to listen to. So I appreciate that. And we are we're going to try to keep that going in future shows in her honor. So I think we should probably talk about the show a little bit, Rich, and where we're going, unless you want to talk about any other moments of those clips there.
No, let's talk about that.
So I'm sure some of you are saying, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to Channel Pro Weekly? And to be honest, Rich and I had that same, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to Channel Pro Weekly discussion. So, you know, Rich, Cecilia, and I were certainly a dynamic trio, and we're going to push on in her honor, and we're going to certainly keep Channel Pro Weekly going for everyone, and we're going to try to make it, you know, I'm not going to say it's going to be the same, but it's still going to be Channel Pro Weekly, and we're gonna push on. So I'm sure some of you would be are happy to know that episode 48 is not the last episode. This is one where we reflect on what the show has been, and look forward to where the direction the show is going to go in the future. So, Rich, do you want to make any comments on that?
You know, just that you will probably, and we really haven't cracked the code on this. We don't, you know exactly where we will steer the ship next. And so you'll probably hear us try some things. And it might be a little while before we've sort of settled on, you know, a new model that feels right and so on. But yeah, we are absolutely committed to continuing to do this. And, you know, if I can't hang out every week on the podcast with my buddy Cecilia, at least I can hang out with my buddy Matt, and I wouldn't want to give that up. So, yeah, we will continue recording this podcast, even if we are the last two people listening to it.
And we will do it for her.
Yes.
Yeah, so I know Rich and I are in talks on what we want to do, and And you know, honestly, I would love to open this up to listener feedback. If you guys have some thoughts of things that we could do or any ideas for the show, please send them to us, podcast@channelpronetwork.com. And we'll certainly take those in mind. I know probably over the next few weeks, we're going to have some guests come on and do the show with us whenever possible. We'll have Michael back a few times. And then we'll just kind of see. But it's going to be a journey. And stick with us as we kind of find the new right and
make the show awesome for everyone still. So I'm looking forward to the adventure. How about you, Rich?
I'm right there with you. Yep.
So excellent. So I earlier called out to colleagues and friends of Cecilia who wanted to share some audio with us about their experience. But I open that up to the listeners as well. I know some podcasts that I've listened to for the last 5 years, where even though the people on the other end have no idea who I am. I feel like I know a lot of these people, you know, because they share a lot and you just get to know them. And it's like you feel like they're your friend, you know. And I can only imagine that some of you feel that way about Cecilia. So if you do want to cut a little audio of yourself talking about Cecilia and some of the moments that you enjoyed listening to or your thoughts, please don't hesitate. Send them in to us. Record it in audio. Drop it in an email, podcast@channelpronetwork.com. We would be happy to collect some of those and put them out on a future episode to share with everyone. So please do that. Rich, does it sound like a good idea?
It sounds like an awesome idea, actually. And yeah, I hope people do send us some stuff. I would love to hear that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So please do that. But next week we're going to resume kind of the normal show, at least as normal as we can make it. And starting with episode 49. So, in that light, Rich, I'm sounding like a bumbling idiot today. it's kind of tough to do.
Yeah.
Rich, we're going to talk about, some of the things coming up next week. So why don't we go ahead and dive into your, In Case You Missed It and What's Up This Week preview.
Yes. Well, the, In Case You Missed It column appears every Friday on our website. And that's where I sort of, round up news from the week that was. This week, the E3 gaming conference took place in Los Angeles. The Infocom, big AV audiovisual conference took place, and Microsoft had a business intelligence event. So I will be rounding up a lot of that news there, and talking as well a little bit about an app called Binky. And yes, that's Binky, like the thing you shove in your toddler's mouth. You'll see why they chose that name. Next week we get right back to the news, and I will actually be in Orlando attending Automation Nation. This is the conference for users of the RMM system, formerly known as LabTech. But there's also a big D&H distributing show dedicated to education. Their back-to-school show takes place. Lenovo has a big data center technology show, sort of a one-day thing they're doing. There's an ASCII event in Toronto. I will be writing about all those different things and then maybe taking a few moments to take advantage of the fact that a week from today is the anniversary of the first patent here in the U.S. for a typewriter to talk a little bit about the QWERTY keyboard design.
Oh, that I came from. Oh, how nerdy.
Yep.
I love it.
If the shoe fits.
Yeah, yeah. what some people may not know is that why QWERTY is laid out, why the keyboards you use is laid out the way it is, but there are also competing keyboard formats, like the Dvorak keyboard. So we'll talk. Yeah, that'll be an interesting thing. Let's talk about that next week. I think that'll be fun.
Okay, let's make a note of that.
All right. So with that, I think, Rich, you got anything else you want to share about Miss Cecilia or anything else?
No. We will not, be talking about her every week, but she will always be in our heart. We will miss her profoundly. I hope by this point, if you've stuck with us to the end of the show, you understand why and the degree to which that's true. We will love her always.
Absolutely. I wrote in a post on Facebook when it happened that said she touched my life in ways that she'll never know, and I'm going to miss her more than she would possibly imagine. So it's a great loss for us, and But it's something that we're gonna cherish the time we had with her. I hope everyone does the same, keep with us here as we push forward and do a great show for you and keep Channel Pro just as awesome as it was in her honor. So thank you to all of our listeners who decided to stick with us here and learn about her and listen to some of the great things that people have said. If you do want to record a clip, please do so and send it in to us, podcast@channelpronetwork.com, and we will fit that into a future episode. If you knew Cecilia and were and you got the call from Rich but didn't get it in time, that is okay. We will devote some time in a future episode to run some of those share that to run some of those in a future episode. We will make the time to do that, and it will make it to air. So if you have not yet subscribed to Channel Pro Weekly, now is the time. And so you can find us on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere fine podcasts are aggregated. If you need a general RSS link, it's channelpronetwork.com/RSS/CPW. If you are on iTunes or Google Play, if you could take a minute and go over there and throw a good rating on there and maybe a couple of fantastic comments about why people should listen to Channel Pro Weekly, share your thoughts about whatever, that would be stellar. If you don't have anything nice to say, you don't have to go and do that then. But if you got something awesome to say, please make it a point to stand on the mountaintop and shout it out to the world. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, feedback, please send us an email, podcast@channelpronetwork.com. We are on the social medias. We are Channel Pro Network on Facebook. If you want to follow me, I am @MattWhitlock. Our Channel Pro account is @ChannelProSMB. Rich, you are?
@RichFree.
So go and follow us there and be a part of the social conversation around Channel Pro. On that note, we're going to conclude episode 48, and thank you all for listening, and we will see you all next week.